sharing the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, letting you know that He loves you, He cares about you, and He wants to meet the need in your life. This is Messages on Demand.
Father, we thank you today for your blessings. We thank you, Father, for all that you have done for us in our lives. Father, we give you praise. We give you glory. We've asked it in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Well, praise the Lord. You know, just a few days ago here in the U.S. of A., we celebrated a holiday called Thanksgiving. And for most families, it's a time when we gather together and we share a meal. May play some games. Sometimes the men especially will sit around and watch a football game. But it's a time of getting together and sharing the blessings that have been bestowed upon you, sharing what we have, talking about the good times, sometimes even about the bad times. We get together as family and friends and do these things. Thanksgiving in the United States goes back to roughly 1621, when the first three-day feast was declared on December 13th of 1621 by the pilgrims to thank God and to celebrate with their Indian friends. Now, this was not the exact first Thanksgiving in America, because Thanksgiving services were held in Virginia as early as 1607, but it was America's first annual Thanksgiving festival. And since that time, the date, of course, has changed that we do it. It's now celebrated the fourth Thursday of November here in the United States. And I know in other countries, you may have a Thanksgiving Day and it will occur at a different time. But it's probably something very similar to what we do in that it's a time of thanks. But I often wonder how many sit down during this time and sometime during the day, take time to give thanks for the blessings that have been bestowed upon you, especially the blessings that you've had in the past year. You know, sometimes we tend to talk about our troubles more than we do our blessings. But all of us have been blessed in some way or another. And I know that for many to say that, well, you know, we hear those that sit down and they say, well, we sat down to a meal and we had a big turkey, or we had a big ham, or we had, you know, however many people, and sometimes a small group, sometimes a large group of people, and we had all of this stuff, this food. It was just more than we can eat. But yet I know, as I bring this message to you today, there were some who would sit down, not only here in the United States, but those that are listening to me in other parts of the world, would sit down, and your meal might be quite meager. You might really have very little on your plate as far as food goes. But how many times even then do you thank God for what He has given you? So do we sit down and take time to be thankful for what God has bestowed in our life? Well, if I could say, let me see a show of hands, and I could literally see the hands being raised. Probably really not too awfully many would raise their hand and say, yes, we took time to give thanks for what God has done in our life. You know, God has blessed us so much, and sometimes we don't even think about it. We don't even think about it. I was just recalling as we were preparing to record this message that just a few weeks ago even I spoke on thankfulness and how we need to be thankful. And I probably mentioned a little bit of some of this in that message a few weeks back. But as I was preparing and thinking about what we were going to speak about today, I titled this message, thankful for kitty cats. And I know for some that might seem like a very unusual title for a sermon or a gospel message. But many times in our lives, we don't really stop to give thanks for some of the little things that we have been blessed with. And as I thought about this, I'll have to admit, the little cats were playing around in the living room and wrestling with each other sometimes. Sometimes they were just getting up on my lap or my wife's lap and snuggling up and taking a nap. But all in all, it was a pleasurable evening because we could see the love that was there and what the blessing that they were bringing to our hearts that evening. I know some folks would say, well, I'm thankful for the big items that I got. For example, I'm thankful for the new car I got. Now, I didn't get a new car, so it's not me. But some might say that. Or some, for some other big ticket item that they got. Well, I got a new house, or I got a new fur coat, or I got a new that. And it's easy sometimes to be thankful for those big things that show up in our life. But yet as I deliver this message today, and I know as it goes out across the internet and around the world, that there'll be folks listening to this message that you didn't have any of those blessings this past year. In fact, it was all you could do to get by. It was a struggle to survive. But you can still be thankful for what God has done for you. Some of you listening to me might say, well, I'm thankful that I had a piece of bread to eat today. I know a few weeks ago I mentioned, as I was starting out in ministry, that one of the first places I preached at was the Billings Rescue Mission in downtown Los Angeles, California. And those men came in. They didn't particularly come in to hear me preach. They didn't particularly come in to hear anybody preach. Most of them really came in because they knew that after they listened to that sermon, whether they paid attention or not, they were going to get a bowl of chili beans and one or two slices of bread. And for some, that might have been the only meal they got that day. But they were thankful for what they had. I want you to think for a moment. Think about that. Are you thankful for the little things in your life? Are you thankful to God, the blessings that He's bestowed upon you, even though to the rest of the world it might seem like nothing? But to you, it can be golden sometimes. Too many times we only want to give thanks for the big things, and we're upset and disappointed if we don't get everything we want. You know, I hate to say this, but there are a lot of people out there today, especially in some of the more rich countries, that they're so spoiled. If they don't get everything they want, they think that they've been mistreated. And of course, some will go, and I'm talking to Christians here now, some will go, well, there's a verse in the Bible that says, and it's in Philippians chapter 4:19, I mean, you know, it was Paul writing this, and so it must be correct. Paul wrote it to the Philippians there, and he's telling them that, and it says this, and my God will supply all your needs according to His riches in Christ Jesus. Now let me read that again, so make sure that you heard what I read. And my God will supply all your needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. But have you ever sat down and read something And you read it one way, but it was actually printed another way. And maybe sometime later you go back and reread it and you say, oh, I misread that the first time. Well, unfortunately, I think a lot of people want to read that particular verse and they really want to misread it, because sometimes we want to read it and my God will supply all the things I want according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. But that's not what it said. It said, needs will supply all your needs. I use a lot, and sometimes I use it in my messages as well. It's an older translation dating back to the 1500s. And that particular verse reads in the Geneva Bible, which is the 1599 edition that I use. And it says, and my God shall fulfill all your necessities. I like that. Your necessities through his riches with glory in Jesus Christ. Doesn't say anywhere that he's going to supply all your wants, and sometimes he does supply your wants. But he will supply your needs. Maybe you didn't have a turkey for Thanksgiving. Maybe it was only a piece of hamburger meat, but be thankful God supplied that food for your body. Now, when you read this particular verse in context, you've got to realize that Paul is writing to the Philippians, telling them how much he appreciated, in essence, how thankful he was for what they had done for him while he was in prison. Me, I'm thankful I've never been in prison. I've visited jails. I've visited prisons. But I have never been an inmate. And I'll have to say that I'm thankful when I walk out the door each time. Because it's a scary thought when you walk in, even if it's to do ministry, and that door clicks behind you and you hear those locks click in place. It's not a place I want to be. And I'm thankful I've never been there other than as a visitor. So I'm thankful for that. So why did I call it Thankful for Kitty Cats? Well, as I mentioned, we recently adopted two kittens, a little brother and sister. They have two other brothers that my daughter adopted. And we've been blessed to watch how they play together, how they love each other, and how they show their love to my wife and myself. And sometimes they'll come and get up on your lap and just lay there and look at you. And you can see the love and the affection in their eyes. And I'm thankful for that. Because it touches my life. I've learned things from watching these kitty cats. And I know we could go on and we could name lots of other things that we could be thankful for. Even though most are small, when we really examine it, that they have been a blessing to us. Just as I said, a lot of people that are listening to me today would say, why in the world would you be thankful for kitty cats? Maybe you don't like cats. That's okay. I can be thankful. We need to be thankful for what God has blessed us with, for the blessings that he has bestowed on our lives. I want you to think about that today, how he has blessed you. How he has blessed you. You know, one of the things I'm thankful for, and I can't say that I give thanks for this every day, but I do fairly often, is that I'm still here to share the gospel with you. Because just a little over 4 years ago, I was laying in a hospital room. I couldn't tell you a whole lot about it. I just know that I've been told that there was some chance. In fact, I think the chance was a pretty good one that I wouldn't walk out of there. But I'm thankful that God spared my life and let me know that He wasn't through with me, that He had other things for my life. So as Christians, there are things that we should be thankful for. Healings that God has brought into our life. He's touched you. He's healed you. He's provided finance for you. He's met other needs, whatever they might be. And we could go probably on and on and on and talk about some little things out there. Maybe they were momentous to you at the moment, but in the overall scheme of things, they were still kind of little. But as a Christian, there's some things that we especially ought to be thankful for. As a Christian, we should be thankful for what it says in John chapter 3, verse 16. And I'm reading it here from the Holman Christian Standard Bible. It says, "For God loved the world in this way, He gave His one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in Him will not perish, but have eternal life." God loves us. He loves us enough that He gave His Son for us. The complete Jewish Bible says His unique Son. No other personage, no other being likened unto Him. And He paid the price that we might have eternal life. Think about that. The Creator of heaven and earth, the Creator of all things that we enjoy, gave His life that we could have eternal life. Romans chapter 5, verse 12 tells us this. It says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." I know people don't like to think about it, but it says it right here. We have all sinned. Every last one of us. None of us were born sin-free. We were born under the curse of sin, brought about by that one event so many thousand years ago. By one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. Why do we die? The answer's right there. Why do we have sickness? The answer's right there. Why do we have bad things happen to us? The answer is right there. Because of sin. Romans 5:21 goes on and tells us, though, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness. Listen now, unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. We can have eternal life, but only through Jesus Christ our Lord. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that when this physical body dies, that Jesus paid the price on the cross of Calvary, and my spirit and soul will go to be with Him forever and forever throughout all eternity. Because the other option is simply death by sin. And when your physical body dies, your soul and spirit go into eternal damnation, eternal separation from God. You say, "Preacher, you're saying some things I don't want to hear." But I've got to tell you the truth. When you die, if you do not have Jesus in your heart and life, you are lost. You are eternally separated from God. And I don't care what some churches may have taught, there is no second chance. Nobody can pray you out of purgatory. Nobody can pray you into a better place at that point. It's done. The deal is signed and sealed and delivered. There is no other chance. But I'm thankful today for Jesus Christ. I'm thankful for the blessings in my life. Be thankful for what you have. What have you accomplished? Let me ask you this. What have you accomplished if you gain everything? And I know a lot of folks like to sit back and they like to daydream what it would be like to be a millionaire or a multimillionaire. And as we record this message, there's a lottery here in the United States, and the other night the jackpot prize was $400 and some million, and it was won by a person here in the state of Tennessee, or the ticket was bought here in the state of Tennessee. Whether it's one people on the ticket or not, I don't know, but they've got millions of dollars available to them now. And I'm sure they're sitting back thinking, what can I do with all this money? How can I spend it? What will I do with it? What can I accomplish with it? And some people like to daydream what they would do with it. How would you spend it? How would you spend it? Well, the Bible says in Mark chapter 8, verse 36, for what does it benefit a man to gain the whole world, yet lose his life? What does it benefit you to gain the whole world if you gained all the riches of the world, yet you lose your life? What has it benefited you? And Christians, I'm talking to you right now. Are you listening to me? I'm talking to you. You may have sat down to meager circumstances, and you may have had famine in your life instead of feast. You may have scraped for that last dime. You may have scraped the bottom of the barrel for that last little bit of meal to cook your dinner. But if you have Jesus, you still have everything. Because eternity is what counts. This life, the Bible tells us, is but a vapor. It's a passing thing. The day will come when we will no longer be a part of this present life. This physical body will perish. But it's what is prepared for our soul, our spirit, that we need to be thinking about. So you may have sat down to meager circumstance. You may have almost nothing in your life on the surface, in the natural. But if you've got Jesus in your heart, you've got everything. You've got everything if you've got Jesus in your heart. Now to those that are listening to me who are not Christians, you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And I want to clarify something right there, because there are some folks, especially here in America, who think, well, Grandma and Grandpa were Christians, so I must be a Christian. And that's not the case. You only become a Christian when you've accepted Jesus Christ in your heart and life and ask Him to forgive you of your sins. You've repented of them. You've walked away from them. You've turned your back on Him. That's when you become a Christian. So I want to talk to you that have never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior today. And maybe you may be the one that's gained the whole world. Maybe you have everything. But do you have Jesus in your heart? Do you have Jesus in your heart? You may have a big bank account, but do you have Jesus in your heart? Because I'm here to tell you that you can have the whole world, But when the final curtain drops and your soul departs your body, it's all over and done with. There is no curtain call. There is no second chance. There is no other time. You have lost it all. If you don't have Jesus in your heart and in your life. I want you to think about that. If you're listening to me today and you have never accepted Jesus Christ in your heart and life, I want to give you the opportunity right now to say, Jesus, come into my heart. Come into my life. Save me from my sin. Save me. I repent of those things that I have done. And some of you that may be praying this prayer, maybe you have lived a good, righteous life in the sense that you have done things that are not wrong. I mean, you have done no wrong things. You could be like the rich young ruler in the Bible says, I've kept all the commandments. But you've never accepted Jesus. But when you do, you've gained it all. You know, I said, I'm thankful for kitty cats. And I am. But most of all today, I'm thankful for Jesus Christ. I'm thankful for the one whose birth we're soon going to be celebrating, who came, born of a virgin, grew up in a sinless life, gave his life as a ransom for all on the cross of Calvary, resurrected on the third day, and now sitting at the right hand of the Father. I'm thankful for him. He's in my heart. And guess what? I'm adopted into his family. That's what the Bible tells me. I am now his adopted brother. And if you're sitting out there, you too can be adopted into the family of God by asking Jesus Christ into your heart. And you can be thankful for all the blessings that God has bestowed upon you, even if it's a slice of bread. I want you to think about that today. And Father, now as we close this message, I pray, Father, if there are those that are listening today that do not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, Father, I pray that the Holy Spirit would speak to their hearts and lives right now. Father, they would ask Jesus Christ into their heart. And Father, they would accept him as their Lord and Savior. And Father, then they could be thankful for the best gift mankind has ever received. We thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
You have been listening to Messages on Demand. If you have been blessed by this message, please let us know. You may contact us by email at pastor@tlhf.us. Again, that's pastor@tlhf.us. Or by clicking on the Contact Us button on the homepage of our website, www.tlhf.us. Messages on Demand is a Didascalos production, a ministry of the Lord's House Fellowship. Yeah.